Standing here on Tianditas Bridge, which is the border between Venezuela and Colombia. On that side, there's humanitarian aid, food, medicine, for people who are on that side and are starving. And the people who put those containers there is a terrorist, criminal regime. This is what they're willing to do to keep food and medicine from reaching their own people, but it isn't going to work.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Happy Monday, Dr. Paul. How are you?
Doing well. And I wish the people of Venezuela would do better than they are, and I wish we'd stay out of their business, because I don't think we're helping much down there. And this little clip, you know, tells us what's going on. There's a threat going on right now. You know, you do it our way, and you won't let us help you. You don't want us let us send you food and take care of you. It has nothing to do with that. That is a threat and intimidation, and it's all done in the name of humanitarianism. It's all done for compassion for the children and for the people. I think that is so much baloney. It's just pretty typical of how they start wars. You know, we didn't kill all these people in Iraq and all the children in Iraq because, of any real national security issues. And we did it for ultimate gain and power and change of things. And that's what this is all about. And they see an opening, and then all of a sudden the hawks come, the neocons come. Yeah. They like war, and they like the intimidation. But then they have to justify it and get the people's sympathy. How can you not be sympathetic? Because we have talked about it. People have talked about the starvation, one of the worst deals ever. We were just trying to say, well, we're helping to contribute to it. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the crisis there is accommodating those who would like to change the government in Venezuela. So this is not unusual. I think it's a disaster. Most likely it'll backfire now that he has Abrams as his advisor. He can't accomplish anything, and it usually backfires on him. He was one that liked that war in Iraq, and it turned Iraq finally it was turned over to the Iranians, you know. So he can't, you know, really achieve anything, and yet it's turned over to them. But they never quit thinking. They never quit thinking, because on the short run, they think they might gain. On the long run was Vietnam, you know. Yeah. They kept thinking, and then afterwards, they realized that the interference and intervention doesn't work. And it's not going to work here. The big danger here, as we get more aggressive, and of course some dates coming up here that we are giving them threats, is the danger to our policy is the practical reaction of the people of Venezuela. That's the question. Will they come together and say, we don't like America taking over our country, even though we don't like Maduro, but we don't want the Americans to come in and own us either and take our oil? And it might end up unifying the country. It has done that before, and that was the only way that the Vietnamese won, is because our interference wasn't being received, and the people who were fighting for the homeland did better. So that is the reason why they have no idea what they might be stepping into, because it may do exactly opposite of what they're hoping.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, everything from that clip of Rubio was a lie. I mean, basically was an absolute lie. He was on the Los Tienditas Bridge, which is a bridge bordering Colombia and Venezuela that was, I think it was finished in 2016, but it was never opened. The bridge has never been in use. Maduro did not block that. He did not put the fence up there. The fence was put up by the Colombians when there were some border disputes years ago. The Maduro government is not blocking aid whatsoever. In fact, on Thursday, they received 64 containers of aid, totaling 933 tons. He's not saying no to aid, but that aid was sent by Cuba, Russia, Turkey, and China. And so you don't hear about that in the U.S. TV. They don't have a problem with accepting aid. They don't want aid coming from a country that is actively trying to overthrow the government. As what country would do that?
Yes, and you'd wonder how they can get themselves into such a difficult situation. But you have to understand what the motivations are of those people who are doing this. And ownership of oil is a big deal. You know, and right now they're using sanctions. Americans are using sanctions to confiscate wealth. you know, tying up their financial system, actually going after their gold as well.
Yeah.
And this is just provoking things, and it looks like just a few more days we might have a climactic change to this when Rubio makes these threats. What are they going to do on Saturday? Will the troops go marching? I don't see the troops line up on the border, and I don't think that's going to happen. They'll just come down and crack down on more sanctions, kill more kids with more starvation, and we're going to prevent Russia and the Chinese from sending in food. So instead of us being the humanitarians, we help create the crisis by preventing the aid to go in. You know, a true humanitarian crisis, even under the worst of circumstances, let's say an earthquake or something, it's not totally unusual to see maybe both East and West helping people who were injured by nature. But this is just purely political, and they have to lie on their position and try to get support, because that, of course, is what's important in Washington. And eventually it's important to get the people to try to understand it as well. And that's what we have been trying to do for a year, trying to get people to understand why the starvation, just as we try to point out what's going on in Yemen, that we're participating in this. Our policies are causing this. And yet that's a hard pill to swallow. But the truth wins out in the end. But right now we're going to listen to these lies. But the one reason why you should be suspicious on this is if you look at history and look at what governments do, it isn't unusual. It's routine. It's almost always, well, we're going to take care of the people. We're going to take care of the children. It's humanitarian, and it's we have to have compassion. And of course, this situation always reminds me of Isabel Patterson. She talked about humanitarianism with a guillotine.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be a humanitarian, or we'll starve you to death. Yeah. You know. So humanitarianism has lost a good connotation. It should be a good term, but it isn't. Some people knowledgeable say, watch out, if they're going to be humanitarians, they're up to no good.
Yeah, and that aid that was on the border of on the Colombian side of the border, that was brought by U.S. military transport. Okay, that's number one. So you've got to assume that there are military troops involved somehow in transporting that. Were they going along on the transport? Are some special forces being transferred onto those transports? That's the first thing. So I think they're getting ready with troops for the 23rd, which is when the U.S. appointed President Juan Guaido said, we're going to come get that aid no matter what happens. Interestingly enough, Dr. Paul, the Red Cross and all of the other major humanitarian organizations have refused to participate in any way, shape, or form with this U.S. effort, because they say this is clearly using food as a weapon, politicizing humanitarian aid. It goes against international law, and we totally refuse to be involved in it. So they're off board. They don't want to be part of it. This is a clear provocation to try to start a war. And, you know, remember, you talked about Elliot Abrams early on. His specialty is hiding weapons in food aid. You know, he did it in the 80s in Central America with the Contras. He almost went to jail for it. You know, this is his specialty. So it's so much in the open, they don't even try to hide it.
You know, over the years, I've always tried to make the point that we should not be influenced by saying, well, we don't want to send in troops and we don't want to be militant, but we need to be involved, and we'll just send some food. And sometimes some people send food very honestly, think it's going to happen, but I would always vote against it, you know, for various reasons. One, about the Constitution, and that in a practical sense, it usually, if it's in the midst of strife in a country, it usually never gets to the people that deserve it or need it, and it comes in and it becomes the weapon. It becomes a war weapon. Even if it isn't a conspiracy, if they can get that food, you know, and use it and reward the people who are friendly and supportive. So it really makes the conditions much worse. It's a lot different than providing aid in a hurricane or a earthquake. You know, this is a weapon. This is a weapon of war, and it's ugly. It's ugly because the most innocent people are the victims, and that is mostly children and sick people and elderly people. They just get pushed around. It all done in the name of of this humanitarian love, you know, to take care of people. So it is based on lies. They have to lie, and the deeper we get into it, the bigger the lies. So we shouldn't be surprised, you know, of the lies told to get us involved in Iraq and all the Middle East. It's something that is difficult to to deal with unless we convince the people. Find out the truth and look for the people who are telling the truth. And unfortunately, if they turn off, which TV program should we tell them to turn off?
Yeah.
You know,
ours.
That would be helpful. But our audience needs to get bigger, folks. Yeah. We need a bigger audience. But I'm also very confident that the truth does spread. You can't destroy truth. Sometimes we struggle, but and I'm always pleased when we think of the difficulty in this, is that we do have a lot of people communicating with us that are overseas, even though we'd like to have more people everywhere. But we have some supporters overseas, and I was just recently at a conference in Mexico, and believe me, there were a lot of people from different countries, and they knew about the Liberty Report.
So all right.
It was a little bit encouraging for me.
You know, when you want to do an invasion or an attack or a regime change, you have to have a slogan. That's just part of the process. We heard it all before. Saddam is killing his people. Gaddafi is killing his people. Assad is gassing his own people. You have to have a slogan like this to mobilize people's opinions, to get them feeling indignant so that they'll support a military operation. With Maduro, with Venezuela, it's Maduro is starving his own people. There may be some truth. We don't know. The thing is, how do we know he's starving his own people? You look at these rallies. I would challenge anyone to look at those rallies. The people all look well-dressed, well-fed. They all have cell phones. So if they want to show us, and I'm not denying that it's happening, but we know in Yemen that people are starving. We see, and this is a place where not a lot of people are running around with cell phones. We see the videos. We see the photos of starving children. We know this is happening. Where are the humanitarians when it comes to Yemen? They're nowhere because we support that war. Where are the starving people in Venezuela? I wouldn't like to see them. I don't want to see them. But if this is the basis upon which there's going to be a U.S. war built, we should know more than just Marco Rubio or Mike Pompeo telling us it.
Yes, and you know, an important issue will be how strongly will Trump take his position. We know his position, and he's not supportive of our position, but he's not been as bombastic as he has been in other areas. But that's going to be pretty important, and you wonder, do you think Trump could possibly have known that Bolton would advertise the fact 20,000 troops in Colombia, that sounds like a good idea, or whether he just decides, well, I'm going to, spread my personal propaganda out to intimidate. But then again, you know, if you had some organization and a precise policy of non-intervention, you wouldn't have a Rubio going down here. He could go to Florida and maybe talk, but go down right in the front line and say, this is it. And if you don't do it, we're going marching, and we're going to march in here, and you better listen to us. I mean, how could anything be more aggressive and antagonistic than what he's doing? And yet, He is seen now as a pretty big hero in this country, but only time will tell how heroic he's going to be, because he's liable to get all of us involved in a mess. Maybe Venezuela, if they decide on a military solution to this, maybe it won't be a cakewalk. It's not going to be like Panama. And the big thing is, and I mentioned at the opening, is how much will our policies galvanize the people, even though they might not like Maduro.
Yeah.
And say, well, look, it's our country. Let us work it out. But that is a question you don't know. And all I know is the period of time that I was very much aware of this is the Vietnamese people were sort of heroic. And I find it so ironic that the Vietnamese people stood by and defended their homeland, even with philosophies that we didn't like.
Yeah.
And I always argued that we have won more in peace than we did in war, 20 years of war with the French in there. And now guess what? There's a peace negotiation with North Korea, a country that we never left, with the Americans going down there and hoping for the best. So you know, it's almost schizophrenic sometimes on how we see things working. So I keep hoping that Trump will be successful in his efforts with North Korea and move along. But I think the best success can be achieved by just butting out, stay out of it, and let the people solve it. Let them assume that they have to deal with the problem.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Rubio, little Marco, is not going to be marching in anywhere. He'll be going home if anything gets rough. But he tweeted out, I think it was today, the U.S. will stand with Guaido for as long as necessary until democracy is restored. You know, talk about twisting language to where it has no meaning. This is a person who received no votes for president, zero votes. There was a recent independent poll in Venezuela where 57% say they recognize Maduro as their genuine, legitimate president. So on what basis, where is the democratic legitimacy of the U.S. coming in and saying, hey, you're the president now? You know, it's ridiculous. But I would just close, Dr. Paul, and to our viewers, this, you're being had, we're all being had, we're being lied to. This is Saddam Hussein, WMDs all over again. The neocons aren't even trying to sugarcoat it this time. The lies are all blatant. You don't have to scratch too far, although the mainstream media is not reporting it. You'll have to look around a bit. These are lies. They're designed to get us into a war. The neocons will fail again, as they always do. Be skeptical. Everything you hear about Venezuela, be skeptical. You don't have to love Maduro. Be skeptical. The war will end very badly.
And one thing I think is important for the American people to think about is that much of this, we mentioned how it's justified for helping the poor and the suffering and the hungry and the humanitarian reasons for going in. But one thing for sure, they also use this a lot, and that is national security reasons. We have to do it for national security. We make the excuses and we blame these leaders for starving their own people and gassing their own people and all this. But they always add in, if you believe in national security, you have to support our troops. It is very, very well known in Washington, but I don't think it's accepted as easily now as it used to, that we have to be over there to preserve our liberties. We have to go over there and defend our Constitution into various countries, whether it's Syria or Iraq or Afghanistan and now Venezuela. Oh, yeah, they're invading. It's important. It's important that that we don't allow the Russians or the Chinese to have investments down there. The strange thing is, they're not putting, it's not like putting missiles in Cuba. All that we have done we've lost our way. Instead of actually working with the Venezuelans, the Chinese and the Russians, who are supposed to be, you know, the radical communists, they make any investments. They've made money selling us stuff, and then they go in there investing in things. And we do recognize, Dan and I both recognize, the imperfections that are there, but we claim, and it has nothing to do with national security, and it has nothing to do with the lies that they're telling, and therefore we have to reassess this and encourage the American people to look for the truth about what's happening, because, yes, this may blow over in 6 months or so and have something like Panama happen. I don't think it's going to be. Besides, it doesn't justify it just because there's a short-term seemingly benefit from it. But I think it's risky. I think it's wrong. I don't think it's constitutional. I don't think it has anything to do with national security. And for sure, I don't think it has anything to do with our humanitarian instincts to help people. They're sacrificing people, just as we have sacrificed people in Yemen, trying to claim that it is so important to do what's right, because we know what's right. We are the exceptional nation, and we should spread our goodness. And unfortunately, more people, maybe fortunately more people, are beginning to realize that that's not correct. I think we're losing support around the world. I think it's fragile. I think our economy is fragile. But I think our foreign policy is fragile, too, and it's unknown. So I think the message of non-intervention is a very important message, and that's why we're going to continue to make that point on this program. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.